Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 11th on the West Coast, now July the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and hope you find tonight's show informative, if nothing else. Well, we're back to a new week here. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I did, and a few people I talked to did. It was a very, very productive week in terms of research. What were we researching? I say we because I know of several people who have been going down the auxiliary rabbit holes from that branch off from the ones that I've been going down. And it's just amazing what you find. In fact, I find it a bit synchronistic with tonight's guest and what he would like to talk about tonight. And we're going to get into that topic in a moment. I am going to sort of loosen things up a little bit with some rather laid-back and somber music. This is Ave Maria.
Thank you.
Well, that's our opening tonight, minus the first 33 seconds. And I guess we can go to church when we want to. We got a very serious topic to discuss tonight with my regular Monday night guest. He hosts his own radio show on the Micro Effect Network, and the show is called The Story Behind the Story. He is a naturopathic doctor and a PhD, an author, journalist, blogger, and as I mentioned, my regular Monday night guest. I welcome back Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Don, and thanks for having me on. Again, another day of travel and a very strange day, I might add. No radio show today. We kind of lost the radio station. The Micro Effect was shut down right before my radio show.
Yeah, I was listening. Went off around 11:07 a.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. And didn't come on until late this evening.
Right.
Any idea why it went off the air? Or?
I just got notified as I was trying to get in contact. The T1 lines were cut off. The grid went out on them, which of course ties into something going on, I believe, in Denver. I had a pretty special guest lined up today to do, and the organization of Veterans Today that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were looking at some pretty amazing new information coming out on Dov Zakheim's Zionist cabal. But, it's very strange that I received a couple of cryptic emails that I shouldn't do the show anymore. I would be knocked off if I tried to. Hmm. Whatever that means, whether it's the station is knocked off or my computer knocked off or physically me knocked off, No, couldn't trace the emails, couldn't trace the IP addresses. They were, some bogus reroutes.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on these days. Lots of it.
Yeah.
We talked about it this past week on several shows. And, in fact, that's some of the research I did. And it's amazing what I came up with because it fits the topic that you would like to discuss tonight. So,
yes, it's
not surprised. I really not.
Well, did you get that other email?
Yes, I did. Now I've got that show sort of queued up, if that's the proper word. I haven't checked out the volume, the content. I don't even know the length of it, but
It's short. It's short. It's a phone call from a lady named Joe from Florida called into the Michael Savage show. It's just I had to play this again because I had an encounter this weekend with a woman up in North Idaho who was, I thought she was joking the things that came out of her mouth about, first of all, Arizona. The topic came up because we were there on the docks speaking. A friend of mine has a bumper sticker that says Arizona is correct, side with Arizona. So we were talking about that bumper sticker, and she said, "You can't be serious. These immigrants have every right to be here." And we just began to she had the exact same mindset. Come to find out, she's one of those liberal people on welfare. So I mean, this interview is so identical to the interview I had on the docks just Saturday afternoon.
Well, I'll play that now. After we listen to this, I have a comment to make too about something I heard today.
You bet.
So this is Joe from Florida on Radio WMV V9, whatever that is, V9? Okay, anyway, here we go. I'm going to have to do this on the fly. I have no idea what's in this. Here we go.
Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side, Joe, in Boca Raton. Welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. This, we have to have open...
Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
you're
to have...
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow. And now,
well, apparently they pulled from the lowest level of the gene pool for women from where you came from. That you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit? An upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's...
I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number.
No,
okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
it
out.
I see. How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check. And I
What do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe.
Yeah, I played this a couple of months ago, actually. True. So
yeah, I figured you did because it's classic. Yeah.
I've actually got a cleaner version of it, too, in terms of audio quality, but man, that thing was loud. I turned that almost all the way down. He keeps it in his stash. that's what she said.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, these people have no concept, and you think it's, when I first heard that months ago, I thought this can't be this chronically stupid. This has to be a setup. You know, publicity for a show, but no, I came across the same type of organism. That's
now,
weekend.
This morning, I don't know if you've ever watched C-SPAN. I don't think I've watched it in about a year, and I turned it on this morning just to see what the topic was that they were talking about, and I tuned in at the time when they take phone calls from the listening audience. And they called a Republican to announce his name, and you heard just a dial tone. It was as though they hung up on him. And then the next person was a Democrat, a woman from Illinois, and she began talking about how she and her friends were researching the Constitution, and they found she didn't actually quote the provisions in the Constitution, but she said that they're keeping an eye on what's going on and that if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, they're going to sue. Have you ever heard anything so crazy in your life?
I think they had to give people signs, you know, as Jeff Foxworthy or whoever said it, you know, I am stupid. Here's your sign. Slap it on the back or brand it on their forehead.
But it became apparent to me that, this person was not just calling to voice their own opinion. They had an agenda, and they were making this comment for someone else. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to sue, first of all? You know, and then, again, how are you going to pay for it? Raise the debt ceiling. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Other than the ones talking about it now. You know, the president and Congress and Geithner is pushing for that. In fact, he issued several letters to Congress. The first one was on April 18th of this year to Harry Reid, threatening to take four actions that are at his disposal. He didn't say the president is going to do this or he's going to override Congress and exercise one of four options that he has. That's a story for another day. But it's basically how they fund the black ops projects. The option number four that he lists in this letter. It's not enough that we're already trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Intentionally, they're doing this, bailing themselves out, giving themselves bonuses, expanding the size of government when they don't have the money. People who have paid into Social Security, people who have paid into 401ks and other pension funds through their businesses have been robbed blind, and they're just going to raise the debt ceiling again. It's insanity, psychopathy, and total insanity. I don't know how else to describe it. And it's criminal. How else do you describe it? But
really,
it goes hand in hand with what you just asked me to play. Somebody can't be that dumb. Twice the population of the country.
Well, they are, and I tell you, it's amazing. But you know, I play that because you know, wow, the idiocy are going around. The people that have contacted me off of last week's show with Patricia Jordan, where we talked about the ongoing efforts to create the ultimate killing virus, the ultimate biological weapon. I've been digging into this all week, Don, to post some more updates on this on my blog. And boy, you talk about going down the wormhole here, not the rabbit hole. This is a wormhole with a bunch of, you know, smelly dead worms. I just wanted to find out where the United States biological research at Fort Detrick began. Where did it begin and who started it and why? This is what I found out. Before 1941, we really didn't have much in the way of biological research. We had, of course, the General Amherst, who ordered the smallpox infected blankets to be handed out to Indian tribes. And there was genocide with that, of course. But that was about the end of it. You know, smallpox wiped out so many of our Native American tribes. It's stunning, both in the eastern half of the United States, but also along the Pueblo Indians, the Hopi tribe, the Navajo tribe, were decimated by smallpox. Well, in 1941, Secretary of War during the Roosevelt administration, Henry Stimson, he got together with a guy named Dr. Frank Jewett, president of the National Academy of Sciences, and then they began the idea of the Biological Warfare Laboratory. Again, this was, again, before Pearl Harbor, before America's even entered into World War II. Secretary Henry Stimson kept a diary, And in his diary, he knew that America was going to go into World War II. He knew that he actually said they would attack, be attacked. America's interests would be attacked in the Pacific. Exactly what's happened. This was in October of 1941. So, you know, 2.5 months before the attack on Pearl Harbor actually happened. Here we find President Roosevelt then authorizing his Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, to create a civilian agency to supervise biological warfare research. This was under the jurisdiction of what was then known as the Federal Security Agency, the FSA. The FSA eventually morphed into Central Intelligence and now the National Security Agency, the NSA. We find that Merck Pharmaceutical, specifically George Merck, was, again, a close advisor to Roosevelt, a very close and very big funder, you know, a political funder of the Roosevelt campaign. Merck was appointed the director of the War Research Service, Don. So here we see big pharmaceuticals coming into this, and again, that's what led to Fort Detrick. Now, here's where it gets kind of interesting, where the eyebrows raise a little bit for me. We have a guy from named Frank McDougall, the original League of Nations, the precursor to the United Nations, that kind of fell apart in the 30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frank McDougall formed. He had the biological warfare testing, the research in the area of public health. He was the director of public health, so-called public health research, in the Ivy League colleges, specifically there at Harvard. So, public health and Harvard is synonymous with really basically biological eugenics movement. Now, the United Nations we find out in 1945, conference in Hot Springs between October 16th and November 1st, they were there for 2 weeks, formulated what was called the United Nations Interim Commission on Food and Agriculture, became eventually the FAO, Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations. McDougall is the chief architect and promoter of this organization. McDougall is the director of public health and public health training there in the Ivy League schools. So you see the elite up here, Don. They're forming this this area of biological research for the sole purpose of promoting this human eugenics program. And this is where it all began, under the Rockefeller Foundation. I just find it very strange that somebody that you and I both have been accused of as being murderers, that accuse us of murder, happens to have graduated with a master's degree from the area of public health from Harvard. Are you kidding me? The connections there are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to write books on the origins of AIDS and all of this as a controlled opposition, I submit.
Yeah, and I mentioned some emails that are flying around, and they lead to microbiologists that have been at the University of California, Irvine, and Washington State University, just to name a couple of places. It's beyond coincidence that this leads to the same MO. And of course, to pharmaceutical companies. And it's no accident. Absolutely
well,
accident.
Merck and you know, Howard Schein, the company, the big pharmaceutical accoutrement, worldwide company, again, were very close in this whole eugenics movement in the 1940s and after the war into the 1950s. And Howard Schein, of course, you know, this gentleman, we won't even mention any names, just happened to be, quote, one of their top advisors.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the links, connect the dots, and you say, oh, my goodness. Now, I pulled up U.S. State Department Policy Planning Study, number 23, dated 1948. This is, again, out of the human or public health staff of Harvard. The guy's name is George F. Cannon with a K. He, in this planning study number 23 in public health, he says, quote, we have about 50% of the world's wealth, we meaning the United States. We have about 50% of the world's wealth, but only 6.3% of its population. In this situation, he says, we cannot fail to be the object of envy and resentment. So our, meaning the whole public health, so-called public health movement, our real task is to devise a pattern of relationships which will permit us to maintain this position of disparity without positive detriment to our national security. To do so, we will have to dispense with all sentimentality and daydreaming, and our attention will have to be concentrated everywhere on our immediate national objectives. We need not deceive ourselves that we can afford today the luxury of altruism and world benefaction. We should cease to talk about vague and unreal objectives such as human rights, the raising of the living standards, and democratization. The day is not far off when we are going to have to deal in straight power concepts. The less we are then hampered by idealistic slogans, the better. Wow. So you see how it ties in again to the Nazi eugenics program. The same people, the same group of Zionists that were funding Hitler into power, Prescott Bush, the bankers of Wall Street, all of these people funded the Nazi eugenics program, and it just, again, became part of the NSA-CIA operation. And it's being poised and planned like never before, Don, to be implemented. I have no doubt about it now.
Now, the predecessor to the Nazis' fascination with eugenics was Sir Francis Galton. Are you familiar with him?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Cousin of Douglas Strutt Galson, half-cousin of Charles Darwin, an English Victorian polymath, anthropologist, eugenicist, tropical explorer, geographer, inventor, meteorologist, proto-geneticist, psychometrician, and statistician. He was knighted in 1909, and he died in 1911. I guess he had to take that with him. But he was considered a pioneer in eugenics, coining the phrase nature versus nurture.
Yeah. Amazing. Then we find out in the Congressional Record when George H.W. Bush was in Congress, serving in Congress in the 4 years from January 3rd of 67 to January 3rd of 1971, he originated, and I pulled the paper that finally came out of his work, a legislative investigation of world overpopulation. I mean, it's amazing that it just followed along exactly the same agenda of Hitler. We have the this Dr. MacArthur, Dr. D.M. MacArthur, the director of research and technology for the Pentagon, they and then in 1971 requested $10 million from the Congressional House Subcommittee on Appropriations to develop the perfect biological weapon. This was in House Bill 15090. So that is really where the initial funding, Don, came for the Fort Detrick team. We see this tied in then to the in Great Britain as well. We see the World Health Organization, the WHO, promoting their worldwide international programs for inoculations, etc. You see the they're working, the WHO, the World Health Organization, scientists working with Fort Detrick to produce viruses and create viruses to basically study their effects on humans in the third world countries. This is such things as the dengue fever, the bone break fever. When the studies were finished, patents were then issued, and you know who got the patents on dengue fever? Our friends at DynCorp.
Yeah, you can keep connecting the dots, can't you? Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see, it's we see again, and then we enter the 1970s and the early 1980s. Dr. Robert Strecker, he produced what's called the Strecker Memorandum. His name's Strecker, the Strecker Memorandum, where he basically blows the whistle showing that AIDS virus is man-made. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. We see the African green monkey disease is really what is the basis. It's a mutated, genetically altered, a GMO basically of African green monkey virus. We then see that the patents for this African green monkey virus mutations are also applied for and granted by the United States Patent Office, again to DynCorp. My goodness, you see how this all connects. We have now the African green monkey disease, HIV, so-called. We have it genetically blended with a very virulent form of H3N2, the human influenza virus. Very likely the human influenza virus from 1918 that was replicated by Fort Detrick scientists. You have this this high lethal killer of a very highly transmissible form of the mutated H3N2 human influenza virus blended with this chimera gene structure, the HIV, African green monkey disease. But get this, now this is all tied in now genetically to the silver-haired bat rabies virus. You talk about the ultimate eugenics tool, the ultimate killing tool. This is the story behind the story. And I tell you, it's a good one. I don't know why this is not getting more serious attention on talk show hosts. I've spread this out in huge amounts of emails. It's like falling on deaf ears, Don. I don't understand it.
Well, they're busy regurgitating the story about Planet X and Comet Elenine again.
My goodness. I guess that's
and that speaks volumes, the code that's included in that name, Elenine. Do a little Google research on that.
Exactly. It goes back again to a Russian. He's a crypto-Jewish, this Dr. Elanine. He's El, okay, the god El of Canaanites. He's one of them, one of the bloodlines, I'm telling you. All again, it's... I tell people all the time, go to any planetarium that's honest and, you know, ask them about these things. And you can see this little cold brown dwarf sitting out there on the edge of the universe. It's always been there. It's not just suddenly just come to attention. It's so out there so far, it's a cold little hunk of rock. It's not doing a doggone thing. And this comet, you know, there's all kinds of comets that just haven't had the luxury of being named yet, Don. It's absolutely insane that people are sucking this up.
I know. It is. And as much as we've debunked it, they're putting more effort into pushing it. Now, there have also been a few, and not to jump around, because there are all kinds of ways you can get rid of people and destroy countries. This Fukushima incident in Japan, we pretty much covered everything on this show over several months. Now they're coming out as trying to sound like they're supporting what we're saying, but not disclosing the cause, and then pushing the issue of the radiation. Is anyone seeing thousands and thousands and thousands of people dropping like flies from being exposed to radiation?
Well, I'll tell you what concerned me on this. There was a piece that I got. I don't know who sent it to me. I get so many blessed emails. It was probably some of this, the news service. There was a warning put out by some of the biological team of the Japanese scientists. You know, it sounded like almost like a remake of Godzilla. You know, it's like all of this radioactive water being pumped into the ocean is causing genetic mutations of the bacteria and other life forms in the ocean. We don't know what's going to come rising out of the waters. The first thing I thought of when I heard that and read that piece, Don, was what a perfect plausible deniability for a mutated virus, a killer virus, to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that. Again, give a smokescreen for what's really going on in the labs of Fort Detrick. Again, this goes back to the reasons why we, the people, have got to be awake and alert and really now mobilize against this Zionist cabal. I mean, it's really what they are. They have no compunction of killing 6 billion people.
Mm-hmm. It keeps pointing to the same topic. I mean, if you carry this out as to why the powers that be would put out these different stories, and then a handful of us come out with something more specific as to what happened, and we're able to substantiate a lot of it with people on the ground there in Japan. And I'm not just talking about making a few phone calls. We know some people. Scientist, inventor Jim Murray knows some people there in Japan who are aware and involved in the inner circles of science to know what's going on. There was no meltdown. They've been pumping that story for several months. And, of course, where did that go? Then they come out with a new version. Several people have been putting out disinformation on that, and I can name them because I was sent the emails to their articles. And I'm reading this stuff, and it's utterly ridiculous. Loren Moray and Alfred Weber have joined forces, and it's kind of interesting. They both show a connection in Berkeley, California. So is that strange? You know, Weber's supposed to be in Canada. He's supposed to be up in Vancouver, but he shows up in that region. And it's Planet X, you know, Nibiru, Comet Elenine, and they're saying that they accomplished Japan with HARP. Well, no wonder they're saying it, because if you take an off-planet dimension and apply it to that, they don't want that discussed. They don't want anybody to know that. Meanwhile, there are more videos of the United Galactic Federation appearing over the BBC building and over London Bridge, taken on the 28th of June. I didn't take those pictures. I didn't post them to the internet, but they're there. And you can see the craft. It's not the trickery that we see them use. These are candid video shots taken with consumer video cams. So this is what they don't want known. They've been trying to keep this secret for 13,000 years. And it's been coming out so much that their deflections and their excuses and their cover stories make absolutely no sense at all. Any serious investigator of ufology and the reality of beings from other parts of the universe being in the vicinity of this planet is off the shelf. That they should ridicule it when they know firsthand we're telling the truth. So they have to try to make us look like we're liars and make all kinds of silly accusations as to what we do when we're not doing research. And that's really the cover story for all of this. Who would want to kill human beings? Who? But non-human beings.
Yeah, it goes back again as I dug into this this whole topic, Don. I saw the pictures of Heinz Henry Kissinger and his Nobel Peace Prize, just like Obama's Nobel Prize and Al Gore's prize. Right, Kissinger received the Nobel Peace Prize. What did he get it for? Keep in mind he's the one that ordered the dispersion of that stuff called Agent Orange, the defoliant. Who created that again? Who made the Agent Orange? Monsanto, our good friends at Monsanto. The chemical Agent Orange that's high in dioxin. To this day, it's the legacy. There's so many thousands, tens of thousands of Vietnamese citizens and children that are affected by this. Now, you know, this killed so many people, this chemical warfare. Yet, think about this. This Ali Hassan al-Majid, the chemical Ali, so-called, there, you know, he was arrested and captured there in Iraq. He did the same thing as Hitler or as Heinz Kissinger did, but to a much, much smaller degree. Yet he's convicted and executed. And Kissinger is still the power behind Obama. Go figure that one. You know, Time magazine article, mm-hmm. April 19th, 1976. This is an exact quote from Time magazine. Since the communist victory last year, this is when it's going to be pulled out of the Indochina, an estimated 500,000 to 600,000 people, one-tenth of Cambodia's population have died from political reprisals, disease, or starvation. To escape this bloodbath, at least 25,000 Cambodians have fled across the border into Thailand. They tell tales of people being clubbed to death to save ammunition. Others have been found bound together and buried alive by bulldozers or suffocated by having plastic bags tied over their heads. This is, again, it's a Time magazine article. What you follow that article through, Don, and this whole subject, you find that the head of this atrocity is a guy named Lon Nol, L-O-N-N-O-L, Lon Nol. He was, again, trained and working with the boys at Public Health from Harvard. Lon Nol, he was the actual commander of the armed forces of Cambodia, and from October 71 to 1974, when all of these atrocities were happening, Pol Pot is just basically the figurehead. It was Lon Nol is the actual guy, like Heinrich Himmler was for Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Lon Nol, we find him retiring in Hawaii, still there. He has over $1 million of taxpayers' money, and he was the force behind the Khmer Rouge killing fields. This is the precedent for these people that are in power today, still today. Kissinger is still there behind the scenes of Obama. He's his prime mover and shaker, as is Zbigniew Brzezinski. Are you kidding me that, you know, now they have this weapon, this ultimate killing field weapon, this biological virus ready to go? Do you think they're going to keep it under wraps, Don? The NSSM 200 report. People say all the time, well, why, oh, Dr. Ott, why would anybody want to kill other human beings this way? Well, I just say, hey, look at the National Security Study Memorandum called NSSM 200. Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interest. Dated, again, the same time as this is, again, authored by Henry Kissinger. This is the same time of the Cambodian killing fields and Lon Nol. Okay, golly. It's all there. That's just declassified. That was declassified under Freedom of Information Act on February 8th, 2007. And yet it was dated December 10th, 1974. What else do they have that we don't even know about? We do know one thing, and Fort Detrick has this killer weapon perfected. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you think they were using this on the Cambodians or some derivative or precursor, I should say?
No, there wasn't any biological weaponry. They were just, you know, like clubs and bullets. I mean, the killing fields was just, again, an example of their genocide against the middle class, the bourgeoisie, perhaps, best way to show it. And just see what they could get, do to manipulate and actually get away with. It's amazing. And that's just one example. There's others. The East Timor bloodbath and the massacre, the genocide and massacre there in Indonesia. These are the type of things that the Western media just really just gloss over. They aren't even looking at it, but again, this is just like the warm ups to what's really being planned for the ultimate takedown.
Would it surprise you to know that Lon Nol died on November 17th, 1985, in Fullerton, California?
Well, there you go, Fullerton.
Oh man. See, some of this is lining up with some of the things I recently discovered. I mean,
yeah.
you don't get a straight email, okay, from anybody. And so when you do a little research, all of a sudden you come up with labs and hospitals and college professors teaching microbiology and talking about fungi and DNA and gene splicing and on. It doesn't deviate from that.
What?
And this is not an accident. This is not coincidence. Go ahead.
Well, again, we find out this the World Health Organization team. They're infiltrating so-called alternative medicine. They're calling it complementary medicine, the field of nutrition, the field of supplementation of minerals and vitamins. You see this international open university of complementary medicine, all funded by the World Health Organization, based in Sri Lanka. We see this head of this, I call it the We Seeum complementary medicine group, this Dr. McWilliams. He's the guy that comes and honors our good dentist with a knighthood. It's bogus. It's really not the Knights Hospital, or it's not the Knights Malta, but it's their own little fairy tale award for services well done. I guess so. Indeed, I guess so. You got the World Health Organization. This is not talked about in the good doctor's books, but it's there and it should be talked about on this show at least. You have in the 1990s, the WHO dispensed tetanus shots among women between the ages of 15 and 45 in Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines, and some African countries. This is referred to in this complementary medicine group. You know, the World Health Organization wants these basic vaccines to go into tetanus. What is now coming out, Don, is the tetanus shots were full of something called HCG, chorionocrine gonadotropin. That's a natural hormone. Combined with tetanus toxoid, guess what? It causes spontaneous abortions, and that's what happened to those countries, permanently sterilizing many of them as well. HCG. Does that HCG ring any bells to you, Don?
It does, actually. Now, did this cause sterility in men as well, or just was it used as a sort of an abortive type of vaccine?
It was an abortificent for women. It didn't really affect the men, perhaps, but it did cause problems with the women. Now, tetanus toxoids are very common in people in America that have received their childhood vaccinations for tetanus and their booster shots. So here we have certain individuals that I don't again want to name names, coming out on national campaigns promoting HCG, human chorionic gonadotropins, HCGs as weight loss. Come on, give me a break. Oh, let's see. Give me you get 500 calories a day. And these HCG pills or these HCG shots will keep you nice and skinny. Give me a flippin' break. How stupid are people out there? I mean, they're just sucking this up, Don. 500 calories a day, anybody's going to lose weight. Why do you need the HCG shot or pill? Give me a break. And this is very, very touching to me because my daughter-in-law lost a granddaughter because she sucked into this HCG craze, was taking HCG when she was pregnant, didn't know better, and lost the baby. Okay, I didn't know she was doing this. My son said, once they lost the baby, I wanted to find out what she could have been doing, and when I found out she was taking HCG, I hit the roof. But she just, gets sucked into the craze of a quick, fast, easy weight loss. And so many so many young girls in America are doing that, Don. Good heavens.
Yeah, I'm looking up some definitions here now. Okay, so it's a hormone produced in the human placenta that maintains the corpus luteum during pregnancy. The corpus luteum being a hormone-secreting structure that develops in an ovary after an ovum has been discharged but degenerates after a few days unless pregnancy has begun. It almost sounds like a contradiction. If it's going to force the ending of a pregnancy, the only exception would be if it didn't work.
Well, see, that's the whole point is HCG has got no clinical study or proof that it ever suppresses appetite and it's ever has anything to do with weight loss. So you got our friend Kevin Trudeau out there, the weight loss cure they don't want you to know about, sold I don't know how many millions of copies of his brainless book, didn't research it, and we have medical doctors jumping on this just like many of them did in the FinFin scandal as well. I'm telling you, what is wrong with America? What's wrong with America's, aren't people thinking anymore?
Well, to tell you the truth, no. And they're always looking for a quick fix. And there are those out there that are pushing these drugs who know or don't know. Either they know or they're ignorant of it, and they're just, toting the water for those that send them on junkets and all expenses paid vacations, pad their pockets and their bank accounts because they're pushing all these drugs. And they won't get into any meaningful conversations about what these substances do. Just to use this one example, there are countless other examples. Well, I need to lose weight. I'll talk to my doctor. My doctor will tell me. And are they giving, continuing education on these drugs to the doctors who are prescribing them? No one seems to be held accountable for all this stuff.
No, not at all. And, the HCG purveyors out there, you have people, good heavens, so-called naturopaths that are out there promoting this without a clue. And I get so upset at it. I says, what are you people claiming to be alternative medicine? And HCG is natural. Natural from where? Where do you think it comes from? From a banana plant? Come on, give me a break. In 5 minutes, you figured it out, Don. It's harvested from placenta. Come on, it's not natural at all. And somehow, it can just like fluoride for your teeth. Fluoride has nothing to do with protecting teeth. It has everything to do with ruining your frontal lobes, your reasoning capacity of your brainstem, though. I know. Let's give people fluoride, enough fluoride. Maybe they can be convinced that they should take some gonadotropins to abort their fetuses. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of fetuses have been aborted because of HCG, but I bet there's probably 300,000 or 400,000.
This reminds me of Gardasil. Do we know all of what's in Gardasil? Because there were a number of young girls that were coming down with issues after having gotten that vaccination. This was allegedly to prevent the human papilloma virus.
Yeah, I've had many shows on this. It's too early to tell, but I'm on the record as saying it sterilizes them. I think you'll find that to be self-fulfilling. Also, the fact that they want to inject the young boys with the same vaccine, I believe it will sterilize them or at least greatly lower their sperm counts when they get there. There'll be an epidemic. You'll mark my words. There'll be a whole lot of people that young couples the next few years that won't even be able to have children. You'll see.
And Merck and company was involved in the production of that drug as well.
Indeed.
See, there you go again. I can tell you someone in Switzerland is upset about some of what's coming out, too. Tracking emails, yeah. Allschwil, which is outside of Basel, right on the border of Switzerland, in fact. Seems to be, they have a good connection with a few universities. University of Texas Washington State, as I mentioned, and University of California, Irvine. They all seem to be working on the same projects. I just find it really interesting that just a regular Joe out there trying to draw my attention to what's going on is actually connected to somebody in Switzerland. You know, it just doesn't happen, you know, every day.
I'll be darned. Well, Don, it's an amazing world. Tomorrow I won't be on the show, my radio show. I've got some fill-ins again coming in, but I've been invited to meet with the French ufologist Jacques Vallée tomorrow. I think it'll be a very interesting meeting. I'll see if I can get our interview recorded and then transcribed out. Are you aware of Jacques Vallée?
I certainly am. May we?
What's your opinion of him?
Well, in real life or how he's portrayed in the movies?
Well, yeah, real life.
Well, you know, you only get what's published, okay? I think he's doing some great research. I think he knows the truth about what's going on. And now, whether he's allowed to actually publish everything he knows is going on is another story. He seems to be somewhat of a pioneer in terms of the spiritual implications of what people are experiencing. Not just abductees, but witnesses to all the phenomena. He's the upper crust of the researchers, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's kind of talking about the fourth dimensional anomalies, and you know we're actually meeting over there at our special little place in the Uinta Mountains. Okay. The hotbed of activity over there at the so-called Skinwalker Ranch. He's been doing a lot of research there in the last year or so, very quietly. And he asked to meet with me. So it's going to be kind of interesting. We'll see.
Well, if you see him, tell him for me, please. Je voudrais faire votre connaissance, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
I would tell him I would like to meet him if it pleases him. And, you know, maybe we can have him on the show. Maybe we can do a roundtable discussion.
Well, that'll be fun. He is flying out Wednesday, so I have a window of opportunity to meet with him tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. There's a consortium. There's a couple of other biophysicists that are, you know, I don't know what they want with little old me other than perhaps to talk about the implications of this in context of the Romania and the – I'm sure we'll talk about the International Galactic Federation in depth tomorrow.
United,
yeah. The United Galactic Federation.
And just in case anybody wanted to, was wondering, I learned to speak French when I worked for the CIA.
No. I knew that. You speak German, and I know you have. I know you have a Swiss bank accounts too. So.
Oh yeah, actually, I studied from second grade, if you can believe that, all the way through college, and then the first 2 weeks in France, I learned more French than I did all those years. Hmm. Because they teach you book French, and I learned to speak like they do there. So that's another show.
Indeed. We need to do a show on the Skinwalker Ranch anomalies because things are really popping there, Don. And only in Utah, this craziness, you know, gets hidden away.
Well, we can. I'm open for that. So, you know, extend that invitation if you would.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we can tap him in and have a good discussion. Okay.
All right. Well, Dr. Rott, thank you for being on the show. Give out your website address, if you would, for the listeners that would like to read your research.
Just www.atrueot.com. A-true. Make sure you get that A in there. If you don't, you get sent to a hate lying website.
Yeah.
Oh, good golly. Anyway, we'll let it go at that.
Well, thanks for being on the show, and good luck with your meeting. Anything juicy happens, let me know. I'll be all ears.
Okay, we surely will.
All right.
Good night.
We'll see you next Monday on Evident Footprints as well.
Good night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, including Drew Malone Rains III and his shout-out before tonight's show. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Christopher Holmes, Ph.D., and we're going to be continuing our discussion on the Heart Doctrine and the works of both H.P. Blavatsky as well as G.I. Gurdjieff. So be sure to tune in. Last show was fantastic. Got a lot of interesting comments from the listeners on that, and we're going to take it another notch up tomorrow night. So, in the meantime, I thank all of you for tuning in, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.